Whoever created that monstrosity makes the two of us look positively moral.
Ooh. I'm not getting it right off the bat. Ryan, what do you think?
Oh my god, Rob, anything hitting you? Mr. Witch himself.
Not at all. All right, Chinlin, what is the witch that you're bringing us today?
This is Maleficent from Once Upon a Time.
Ooh!
Love her. I would not be able to remember quote from Once Upon a Time, but the Maleficent on that show is definitely fierce. I love her. I love the actress. I'm trying to remember her name.
Kristen Bauer Van Straten.
Yes. So Miss Van Straten. So she's also famously known for her vampiric role in True Blood, where she played the magnificent bisexual vampire Pam. God, I love her on that show. But yes, the minute I heard she was going to do Once Upon a Time and do Maleficent, I loved it. Great choice.
Yeah, really great.
Welcome to Brunch with the Hollowells, everyone. As you can see, there are three of us today. We have Chinlin here, who is going to help us recap Season 6, Episode 21, Witch Wars. Welcome back to the show. It's been a while for you.
Super charming.
Thank you so much for having me back. It has been ages. My God.
It's been so long. So crazy. But I'm so glad that you are here with us today and that you've stuck with us since then. And what have you been doing lately?
Oh, honestly, nothing. Like, things have opened up in Texas because Texas is more, you know, lenient. People aren't wearing masks down here. But I've just been hanging out with my friends, you know, safely and taking care of my pets. Honestly, I have a very boring life right now, so there's really not much to say. I think the only big change is that I just started a new job, and that's been kind of challenging, but in a good way, because, you know, it makes you grow.
Of course.
Have you been working from home?
Yes, that's the big thing. So I left my previous job to work for this new company. So I changed. I work in marketing. I changed from one agency and I went to another agency. And one of the big reasons why I went to the new agency was so that I could work from home permanently, like 100% remote.
Yes.
That was a big plus. Yeah.
Awesome. That's cool.
That's the way of the future, I feel like. That's the way of the world now. I think it's real. You can get more done a lot at home, people are saying. Like, it's just easier not to come driving there, getting there, and you could just be so more productive, I feel like.
Yeah, like, I never liked commuting, and I didn't live that far from my old job. It was like maybe 15 minutes without traffic. But the thing I do like about not ever commuting again is that, you know, I'm not releasing more CO2 emissions into the atmosphere.
Nice.
Because I'm
very
like,
nice.
I'm trying to be more environmentally conscious about what I'm doing in my life. So no more commuting, less CO2 emissions. I'm trying to be more wary about what plastics I recycle, because not every plastic is recycled. Only a small percentage of the plastics that you put in the recycling actually get recycled.
Isn't that crazy? Yes.
I'm rambling. Sorry.
No, it's quite all right. Well, welcome to the last episode before our finale. So crazy. We are doing Witch Wars today. Some details, of course. This originally aired May 9th, 2004. This was written by Krista Vernoff and directed by David Jackson. Welcoming back, guest starring is Christopher Neiman as Sigmund and Gildart Jackson as Gideon. We also have Mrs. Winterbourne, Betsy Randall herself. And we have some familiar faces from TV all across the board. We have Bodhi Elfman playing Kyle, what was he? Was he an investigator? He was an investigator.
Crime Reporter.
Crime Reporter, yes, thank you. Elaine Hendricks is Clea. Jim Peary is Core. We also have Vicky Davis is Tally, with David Ramsey, our upper-level demon.
Yes.
I have a little thing about David Ramsey a little later. I also just want to give a huge shout-out to the patrons in the attic. Again, without you guys, a big part of this show would not be possible without your help and assistance. This includes you, Chinlin, so thank you so much for that. Remember that if you do join the attic, there are a bunch of bonus content, bonus episodes, and also an opportunity to be on the show, to either be a charmed spotlight or to be a guest for the entire episode. Definitely check our page. It is patreon.com/BWTH podcast.
The episode opens in media res with a teaser to a TV show called Witch Wars, in which a demon promises a fight with the Charmed Ones. Immediately after, the scene flashes back to 12 hours earlier. The Charmed Ones are meeting at magic school. They are trying to identify who is trying to turn Wyatt evil. Leo is after a witch killer, according to Gideon. Phoebe is quoting statistics and suggests that someone close to them might be after Wyatt. Gideon tries to encourage the sisters to go after the witch killer. Chris admits that what happens to Wyatt happens before he's born. Gideon meets with Sigmund and notes that the sisters are just about to figure us out. So I just want to say one thing, because, like, you know how season 6 has had some inconsistencies plot-wise? Like, Chris saying, yeah, so what happens to Wyatt is going to happen, like, before I'm even born. And I'm just like, yeah. Now? You see this now? Like, I mean, you know, inconsistencies will happen in TV shows, so it's, but, yeah, on my rewatch, I was thinking, yeah, this is bad timing.
So I was going to ask this. He responds with, you know, I didn't want you to worry. Now, just no, think about it. So it kind of comes down to maybe like a scenario where it's like, do you want to know the day that you die? And if you find out, are you going to worry the entire time? So it's like, if he had informed them about, oh, you've got to fix this before this baby's born, then, like, how do you process, how do you do your day-to-day? Like, would it put too much pressure and added stuff to that? So was he right in keeping it from them until now?
I think last minute makes it even more stressful, because you're kind of like, oh, well, now we have to catch up. And, you know, this whole time we could have been looking around at this timeline. But to Chinlin's point, I think it's, the writers realize they only have 2 episodes left and they're like, oh yeah, no, we have to write something now. It's so true. It's like such inconsistencies with that plot.
I do agree that I think mentioning it last minute does add more stress. If Chris had mentioned it a little bit sooner, maybe I think if I knew something bad was going to happen and I knew sort of when it was going to happen, I would try everything in my power, use more resources in my disposal to kind of mitigate my stress and be more prepared.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm a planner too, so I'd rather know.
I'm a planner. Yeah, that's, yeah.
So just in this scene, I did like the fake Witch Wars intro. I thought that was really cool to show us almost like another TV show as we're getting ready for Charmed. And Gideon throwing out just so he doesn't get caught that, oh, it can't be immortal. Because, you know, Phoebe's plan and researching this. And I think that's so smart that she is realizing that it doesn't have to be someone supernatural. It could be, you know, anyone in their lives. But Gideon throwing that out, I'm like, boy, this guy is just, he's doing everything not to be caught. But it's like so close. It's so close. It's on the tip of their tongues. Gideon.
I love how Gideon is a part of this family meeting, hence the term family. Like, this man was putting in so much of his two cents. I'm like, chill out. Let the family talk.
Was he there on purpose, or was he like reading those books kind of in the background?
Well, eavesdropping? I mean, it is his house. So, I mean, if they want to be there, obviously he can be a part of the conversation if we're being real about it. But at the same time, it's like, I called a family meeting and this man got more to say than everybody at the table. Like, chill out, dude. But I did notice Chris cut his hair. I think he's got a little bit of a style going on with this one. It's a little shorter than I remember.
Nice, I thought.
In the underworld, the game masters of Witch Wars, a male and a female demon try to bring a high-level demon on the show. The male one has an athame in his hand, and they promise him the powers of the witches he kills. But he will lose his powers to the game masters if he fails. So the demon refuses and shimmers away. The Game Masters plan to rule the underworld with the powers so acquired. So, real quick with this, I don't know if you guys recognized our demon in this scene, the one who was smart enough to get the hell out of Dodge because of their, like, messed up plan. Did you guys notice who that was? That was David Ramsey, who is known for his role on Arrow playing Diggle. Basically, ooh, yeah, name. This is Oliver Queen's sort of right-hand man, and then he later became the superhero Spartan in the series and was hinted at the end of the series to get a Green Lantern ring, which I was so excited for, but I don't know if they're ever going to do anything with that, but I was like, yay. And I saw him once in person. He went to a show. Whoa. At this theater that I worked at, the stage theater where I was an usher, and he came to one of the shows. Oh, how cool. And so I saw him. He is super tall. He is so tall. usually these actors, when you see him in person, they're you know, shorter, but no, he was tall. But it was so cool to see him. The mustache was killing me, though. I don't know. I was like, either grow it out or not at all. I don't know. There was something about the mustache that was not, like, for me. But again, I really like that. And then also, Ryan, I know you know who our female game master is.
Yes, I cannot believe our parent trap villain herself, Meredith Blake,
I know,
was a demon. So she officially was a bad woman.
So crazy, right? Seeing her. And it's funny because so she did a movie. She did the sequel to Inspector Gadget. Part 2, which also starred French Stewart, who is our genie.
Yes.
So I like that little connection there. It was great to see him. Okay. Gideon appears to the Game Masters claiming to have an offer. Meanwhile, Phoebe goes to a crime reporter at the newspaper, Kyle Donnie. So she says she wants to dedicate a month of her column to protection of children, and wants to know how she might find someone who is after Wyatt. Paige orbs in, worried that Phoebe has no powers, and hands her potions. So
I loved it.
A few things here. What's not in the synopsis is that there was a scene where Paige is torturing a darklighter, because her and Chris are like, is he a darklighter? We don't know, because he looks very much in pain. But she's using the crystal cage for this.
She loves those crystals.
Yeah, she really does.
I was so excited. Yeah, I was like, oh, here we go. The crystal cage is back.
So Paige thought that the Darklighter was lying because he said that a witch had been killed the night before, but she didn't know about it. So she killed him thinking he was lying. And then Leo comes in and says, oh, a witch was killed last night. So they killed their lead. And I just thought that was funny. So
what happens when you wait to the last minute? They're just like, oh my God, we have to torture people now because they don't know what is happening. Who's going to get Wyatt? It's bad. It's bad.
So they deduce that an upper level demon is probably at the center of this, helping these witches die and sending out others to do it. The other thing that I had is that didn't you love the fact of how they reminded us in the script that Phoebe doesn't have active powers, but she can cast spells? That line
was so obvious.
It just seems so forced, but they do that all the time. It's a very, you know, normal formula where they have to kind of like, if you didn't watch last week, here's what's been going on.
Yeah. Gotta remind the audience.
But that line was so forced. I'm like, amongst the three of you, I'm sure you guys know what's going on. You didn't need to say it, but it's for us. It's just funny. I just love that.
No, but you're right. It did not read natural at all. It was like Chris was standing there. He's like, but she can use her witch powers and throw potions. It was like he was reading off a book, like knowledge. It was funny.
So I actually really enjoy the character of Kyle. I just think with his blunt honesty and was like, I'm working here. Are you trying to flirt with me? Because it's really bad. I just like how honest he was. He was a delight to watch. I don't know if any of you guys know this, but with his last name being Elfman, there is another person with the last name Elfman. Some may know of Jenna Elfman. Well, those two are married. They've been a couple forever. So if you know the name Jenna Elfman, it comes from Mr. Bodhi here.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not brothers. Know that.
Yeah, Fun many fact. People don't. Yeah, many people don't. And also, this episode so far is really trying to mock how ridiculous humans are at their chance of 15 minutes with a lot of the stupid stuff that people will do on TV. I mean, reality TV had really skyrocketed at this time. And of course, Charmed is going to, you know, recreate that sort of craze. So of course, there's a reality show going on in the underworld.
True.
Yeah.
Paige recklessly orbed into Phoebe's office. Her blinds were open. Her door was open. She had a receptionist right outside the door. It's just
so true. So
Barbas true. Had a point in Crime and Witch Demeanors. Two episodes later.
It's so true.
I didn't notice the blinds were open, though. That's pretty bad.
I noticed it because I wanted to be prepared, so I watched it like twice.
That is great. Yeah, because she never orbs outside or like in a park or a bathroom stall maybe or something that's in the office.
Yeah,
she just always goes for that office open door. It's crazy.
Yeah, and like we know she can sense if people are around before she can orb. So, you know, a little shenanigan there.
Yes.
Gideon tells the game masters that the charmed ones are after him, but he needs them distracted. He plans to plant a witch in their care, and the demons on Witch Wars will have to come after her. With the pregnant Piper taking refuge at magic school, the power of three won't be a factor. Gideon demands that no innocents be harmed, but the game masters have other ideas after he's gone. I just feel like, well, at the time of watching and even just rewatching, I was thinking, you're dealing with demons. Like, you can't expect them to like follow your direction, even though it benefits them and yourself. But we'll get back to this at the end.
That's so true. I mean, Gideon has been an elder for, I mean, we don't know how long he's been an elder, but we're assuming for a while. So he should know dealing with demons. Yes, he's desperate, but again, that's why he shouldn't be doing this whole thing to, you know, get rid of Wyatt. But I just dislike that he's so cocky to these demons with telling them not to hurt innocents or heart charmed ones. Like, he just tells them, yeah. And again, like Chinlin said, why does he think that they're not gonna do the opposite of what this is a demon's MO? I mean, I guess it worked in the past sometimes, but
I think he's also using his status because they know he's an elder.
Yes.
And like, here's another like kind of mini shenanigan I want to call. How do they know he's an elder? He's not wearing an elder robe. You know, right. Like he's got the same clothes every time you see him. It's just the magic educator
yes!
robe and the buttoned up shirt and the tie, and I'm just How do they know?
I would say it's so the true. Color of his orbs, maybe, but that is a stretch. They don't necessarily mention it. I also feel they can just sense one another in a way. Just some of that aura or presence, maybe, you know, oh, I can tell your demon or whatever. It could be anything, but yes, definitely. It is a little bit questionable.
Gideon orbs into the manor and tells Leo that Piper has become paranoid and is terrorizing magic school. Leo orbs away. Paige scries for witches under attack. Gideon fakes finding and tells her that Chris to hurry after her. Alone in the manor, Gideon plants a number of small Ronix crystals in the wall, cameras for witch wars. Chris and Paige find a witch being attacked by three demons. One steals an amulet from her and shimmers away. Chris and Paige orb the witch, Tally, back to the manor. The amulet is an heirloom and has no powers, but Tally is nowhere Gideon wants her. Now Tally is where Gideon wants her. So I just wrote that Paige does say in this scene with Leo that when he defends Chris, I like that she calls him dad. And, you know, it's they're growing. Chris and Leo are getting a little better in their relationship, which is nice. Piper terrorizing magic school, I think, is amazing. It's so Piper. And I think she is adorable. I mean, we see the scene later on when she's actually talking to the teacher, but I love the way she talks to the teacher and does that whole thing like, Wyatt will not be attending ever again. love Piper.
I liked the scene with Piper and Leo. I guess it wasn't like anything special, just that it was very simple. It was, you know, Piper freaking out about something. And, you know, Leo's always there to just like console her and calm her. And, you know, I promise everything will be okay. That he's always saying stuff like that. So it was just, it was a nice scene.
I do like Chris. He was very surprised when Leo took his side, saying he shouldn't have to apologize for the late news. We didn't get the lick of the lips before that moment, but he still was very appreciative of Leo taking his side. So I like that. So a crowd of demons is watching Witch Wars in a bar. Piper argues with a teacher at magic school about an incident in preschool. And Leo manages to calm her down, noting all of the people around Wyatt who love and protect him. A round of witch wars begins with a dark lighter, the brute demon, who stole Tally's amulet, and a shapeshifter, also involved in the attack of Tally, setting out to go after Tally. But they'll have to get past Paige and Phoebe to get to her. Each carries a powerful, absorbing athame. Phoebe is talking with Kyle after hours, trying to find out who's after Wyatt, but without revealing too much information. When Kyle gets up for some coffee, the shapeshifter knocks him out and morphs to his appearance, taking his place. So I like when Phoebe goes back to the house and Paige is like, okay, we need your help. You're going to have to stay. And then they bring up yes. the whole amulet and the fact that it has no power. So, saving my nephew.
What kind of powers does it have? Does it?
Saving my nephew or kleptomaniac demon. Okay, so I'm going to need those books because I got to go. I just love that. But Gideon also keeping Sigmund out of the plans is also very, like, he's spiraling. Gideon is spiraling at this point. He's demanding no, you know, innocence or charmed ones are hurt. He's working with demons. He's not consoling with Sigmund. Like, it's just, he's spiraling. And the demons can see it, too. The game masters are like, this man is desperate now. He'll practically do anything since he's allowing all of this stuff. So, yeah, Gideon is starting to kind of be manic at this point. Also, I just wanted to bring up the Book of Shadows entry on the Brute Demon. It's an upper level demons with overwhelmingly physical strength. They work alone and generally crushing the skulls of their victims. I know, right? Explosive potions have proven effective in vanquishing them, but caution is recommended as brutes are often fond of the camouflage before attacking. Did you guys recognize our brute demon from a very famous series called Underworld? With Kate Beckinsale, Martin Sheen, all.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know the movies. I just
yeah.
I was gonna say I know those too, but I mean,
he's the bigger Link Lycanthrope wolf that is on there. He's got that very recognizable deep voice. I'll have more on him later, but yes, very recognizable when I saw him.
So Paige scries for Tally's amulet, and she and she and Leo orb to its location. The brute demon lays it on the ground and tries an ambush, but Paige suspects a trap. Paige throws a potion and vanquishes the demon, and then the two see a crystal projecting an image showing the interior of the manor. The dark lighter orbs in, shoots Chris, and kills Tally. Leo orbs back to the manor, and Paige grabs the crystal and the brute demon's athame. Leo heals Chris, and Chris tells of the underworld rumors of the demonic game show. Paige calls Phoebe, and Kyle tries to accompany her to the manor. Ooh, that was creepy. Let me take you home. But she becomes suspicious. Kyle tries to force Phoebe to take him with her, but the dark lighter orbs in and takes out his competition. Phoebe calls for Leo and Chris. Chris arrives, and they orb away. And then the dark lighter tries to claim his prize, but the male game master vanquishes him with his athame. The game master plans to go after the charmed ones themselves. Wow. So poor Tally that she got killed.
That was really sad to see, because it was just, I don't know. She was so innocent. There was really no reason for her to die. Really. She didn't have too much power. And like, I gotta say, Chris was literally just sitting there waiting to be shot. Did you see how long it took for that arrow to leave that bow and for him to get shot?
He had really bad reaction time.
Yeah. Oh yes. That's what it was. I was like, Chris, you could have done something. Why did you agree to stay if you weren't going to protect her? But yeah, I just think the timing could have been a little bit tighter on that, because it looked like Chris was just hanging out.
And then I do like two quotes from Paige in these scenes. One is when she notices the cameras and she says, "The sons of bitches, where are the cameras?" Like, she was really upset about that being filmed like that. And then she says to Chris at one point that, like, he doesn't know, or he's telling information later on about the game show. And then she's like, "This seems to be your theme, you notice? That he's just saying all of these things, I guess, as needed." But I guess eventually it could have came up. Like, you know, there's a demon reality show where they kill witches. Just to let you know, possibly.
The thing I liked at the very end of that scene was when we're looking at the demons at the bar, and the game masters are like, "Oh, we're going after them now." And that one guy passes the dark lighter and he's like, "Gotta admit, it's a good twist."
Yeah.
I just love these fourth wall breaking jokes. And like with this episode, it's just so meta because it's a show within the show. It's
definitely.
It's excellent. Gideon magically forges a page that describes the projector crystal and presents it to the sisters. Phoebe speaks an incantation from the page. Gideon secretly gestures in that moment, and the crystal activates, showing the teaser from the beginning of the episode. Gideon claims that it's the game masters of Witch Wars that are after Wyatt. Chris and Paige enter the manor. The game masters shimmer in and attack. Phoebe and Leo orb in. Paige throws two potions, but they have no effect. Leo vanquishes one of the game masters and with the brute demon's athame. Phoebe takes the athame and gives it, and it gives her its demonic powers. She shimmers, throws an energy ball, and vanquishes the other game master. That's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, there's a lot in that scene.
Phoebe kind of gets a win this episode because she's been powerless for the past two episodes. So even though it's demonic powers, it's evil powers, like it's you know, beggars can't be choosers, as she says. So she gets a little literal confidence boost with those demon powers from the athame, and then she just goes crazy.
She looked like she was having a ball doing it too, like such a good time.
Yeah, for sure.
So one thing that I'll touch on, that it's not necessarily a huge thing that we have to kind of talk about, but I have a feeling that if Prue were around, she would have chosen to absorb the demon powers herself. I feel that Phoebe is really the last person to be absorbing any powers, especially evil ones, because she's so susceptible to evil. And she's been evil before more than once. Mm-hmm. I feel that if Prue was around, she probably would have taken this particular part of the show. I mean, I like when Phoebe did it. She looked crazy as hell when she did it, too. And I love the look. But I feel that if Prue were here, she'd probably be the one to absorb the powers. But I do have a question for you while we're on the subject. Do you think that Prue would easily be able to come back from having these evil powers? She hasn't really been evil that much, and most of the time it's through possession. But do you think she would be able to handle having evil powers and be so easy to just give them away? Not to say that she's so easily turned, but again, is it that easy for her, or would she kind of be, you know, tempted with it?
I think I'm not the Prue expert, but I think she would be tempted. This is a great question, Rob. I was thinking this flashback to that one episode in season 3 with the sins and how her sin was pride, and she Yeah, I think she'd have a hard time, like, letting go of the athame. But I think you also made a good point. She would be there wouldn't be a discussion. She would just take the athame and then absorb it. Absorb the powers. Take charge.
The only other thing that I had for this scene I thought was funny. So Gideon is watching the sisters at magic school kind of like prepare and plan and whatnot. And Piper is excusing herself. And I don't know if you guys heard this, but she goes, "Leo, don't touch me. You're the reason I'm like this anyway." And I love that line. It's such a throwaway line, but it just needed to be said. I don't know if she was joking, but she was literally like, "Just don't touch me." And I love that. I love that.
Phoebe shimmers to the demon bar. She throws energy balls, vanquishing several demons and causing the rest to flee in panic. Back at the manor, Paige has to stab Phoebe with the athame to remove the demonic powers from her, which is terrible. I would not want to stab anyone, especially my sister, like right in. Ugh. Sigmund is worried that he and Gideon might themselves end up turning Wyatt evil by their attempt on his life. Sigmund plans to go to the sisters, but Gideon kills him to protect his secret. On the Gideon point, I just want to say, I wish Sigmund and people who are going to tell people don't announce it before they do it, because they always end up dead. What does he think that's Gideon was going to let him go?
I love the fact that Sigmund
thinks he's going to kill a baby.
I love the fact that Sigmund thinks he's so good. Gideon is not going to, like, like, he's gone this far doing so much evil work and behavior, and you think that, oh, but he won't kill me because he's not a killer. Like, it's just the weirdest thing. Like, you think he's just going to give up when you threaten him? It's just, oh, TV, man. It's so weird when they do this. I hate that. They all, like, you see this in TV shows and movies all the time. You've got these good Samaritans being like, I'm going to tell you just killed somebody. Yeah, because you won't kill me. So I'm just going to walk out of here and just tell, like, it's so, yeah. Sigmund, you could have played it cool and got out of there quick.
And the only other thing I have is earlier back to the Phoebe area. She says at one point, this great shot that she's facing the camera and she has just used an energy ball. And she says, looks like your show has just been canceled. So last week, I confess that I have a story with this, with the reboot, and just real fast. And again, any reboot fans, nothing. I'm not dissing the reboot at all. But when it first came out and all the things were like all the issues and they were bad mouthing the cast and everything, I had a clip of Phoebe saying that looked like your show's just been canceled, because I was sure after the first season it was going to be canceled. And it's still on my phone awaiting. I don't even want to say it, because people love the show. They love it. I still had it. I still have it in my phone just to, like, I'm not going to do anything with it, but I just have it. I'm like, one day it will be canceled and maybe the legacy of Charmed will continue.
So you were going to do a meme, you hater.
Oh, I was ready, because that was at the height when they were just making fun of the cast and saying they were too old and this and that. And I was just like, no, but I just have it now. And it's just like one of these things. I mean, they're on season 3 now, so.
You should convert it into a GIF and then just have it on standby. And once it's announced, if they announce the reboot to be canceled, then, you know, pull up Twitter and just, you know, insert that GIF and tweet.
When Leo returns to the manor and they go through this, you know, discussion about, you know, having to stab Phoebe or whatever, Paige and Chris are sitting on the couch and Chris is holding this pillow for dear life. I have a feeling he was scared shitless during this attack because he just looked so worried and afraid. You should see how he was just gripping this pillow to his chest. It was so cute.
Oh, I need to see that.
It was so funny. But I also really like the way that Phoebe handled herself in this bar. When I think of Witch Wars, I think about the way she turned to the camera with that psychotic look on her face. That's the only thing that stands out to me with this episode. And then I just love the whole shimmer from TV to the bar. It just was a nice effect. It's something Phoebe would do with powers. It's just a nice move. I like that move. But I also enjoyed the comedic styling. I mean, this scene felt very Buffy to me, the way that Paige was preparing to stab Phoebe, and then it just cuts to magic school and they're just talking about what happened rather than actually seeing it. That is a Buffy move. I don't know if you guys agree with me on this. That just seems like a very comedic move that they would do on that show, because they obviously can't show her being stabbed. So
I agree. And then just to say earlier, I also felt a Buffy moment when they were all gathered around magic school around the books. And it was like they were in the library with Giles looking for research, I felt like, on Buffy, kind of. Because you don't normally see the Charmed ones in like a big area with millions of books. Usually it's just the Book of Shadows. So it's cute.
So on my rewatches, I realized, okay, Phoebe was badass when she shimmered from the screen to the bar. But, like, those demons at the bar, they didn't do anything. They were just watching TV, hanging out with their friends. I was like, oh. Like, part of me was a little sad, even though, you know, obviously they're demons, but.
I mean, if you had left them alone, they probably would have ended up killing each other. You saw how they were killing each other over, like, stupid moves and sayings, like, or whatever.
That one lady demon, like, used her pool stick to, like, kill that other dude. Yeah.
Yeah, it's scary in the underworld. You never know.
Yeah, you can't piss off anyone.
Yes.
Like, don't just walk into me because you might be dead up in smokes.
Well, that is going to conclude our episode of Witch Wars. What did you guys think about this rewatch? Did it play out differently than what you remember?
I really appreciated the structure of the episode plot. And like I know I already said this earlier, but I thought the concept of the Witch Wars reality show was really well thought out, because you're pretty much applying a human concept onto demons. Yes. You know, like demons are kind of the same. They want recognition, they want glory, they want fame.
Yes.
And who doesn't like a good competition show?
That's right. And especially in the demon world, you're like, as you were just saying, it's such a place that you could just get killed at any for anything. So yes, I could totally see them loving this. And
yeah. And then other thoughts I had during the rewatch, a little thing I want to call shenanigans on. So when Phoebe tells the crime reporter that, oh, the child's been in seclusion, so then what next? And I was thinking, well, that's not true.
Right.
Wyatt isn't secluded. He's just in another location in magic school. So, like, she was so close to figuring it out. If she had just been more open-minded about the possibility of someone at magic school possibly right. being a suspect. She was so close. So, yeah, I just want to call shenanigans on that, because the child has not been secluded. He's been interacting with other children, such as the girl who stole his Play-Doh.
Yes, and you're right. And then a few episodes earlier, we know what the students, when they call the Headless Horseman. So it's not that everyone there is just happy and sunshine. So you're right. He's been there continuously around people, teachers, kids, magic users.
Well, the episode is very straightforward. I mean, there's nothing too complex about it. They're definitely having fun before getting very serious to the finale. I would say this isn't one of my favorite episodes of the season. However, just rewatching it now, there was a bit more of, I guess, laughs than I remember before. So yeah. I guess that's good. But overall, it's an okay episode. I do have some notes that I enjoyed from Witch Wars. Ryan, we need your opinion once again. This episode did have a promo title attached to it. I don't know if any of you guys remember the trailer at the end of last week. This is called Witch Wars Reality Check.
I hated that promo title.
What do you
think? I agree.
It didn't make sense.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a reality show, it's a play on words, reality
show. But Witch Wars would have made it.
I know, but
it would have sounded so much cooler with Witch Wars, because it sets up that idea that it's a TV show that's going to happen next week, kind of like a reality thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Reality Check. Yeah I guess.
It just felt lazy.
Gotcha.
Yes. Well, I mean, less sexual than normal. I'm glad it wasn't like steamy reality demons and leather or something like that.
It didn't really need a promo title to begin with. So I don't know. Maybe they just felt they've been on this train of just putting one on each time that they
events, right?
Decided
like,
to
they
add
try
one.
To make it something. Yeah. It can't just be a normal episode of Charmed. It has to be reality, fantasy, the leprechauns.
Yeah. So this episode is the 14th episode to have the word witch in the title. It's ironic that this episode parodies reality television while this episode was beaten by the Survivor finale, resulting that this episode, Witch Wars, is one of the lowest rated episodes of the series.
Really?
Aww, that makes me sad.
Because of a reality show. also,
kidding, I guess.
Similar to Buffy, there was an episode that sort of dealt with this sort of demon evil reality show or competition. And the episode of Homecoming, it had a similar theme. Various evils were gathered in an attempt to kill the protagonist in a contest. Speaking of being the lowest rated, almost, the episode was watched by 2.7 million, making it the lowest ranked episode of the series. And it's also one of just three episodes which were watched by less than 3 million. So I mean, to me, that's more of a compliment. The other two episode titles I won't say, but those are the only three that went less than 3 million. Every other episode was above it. So I think that's awesome. In the real world, the term witch war is used by the Wiccan community to describe a heated debate about an issue in their way of life. Thought that was cool. And then lastly, as I was saying earlier about the brute demon, I just wanted to go a little bit deeper into that. So Kevin Gravillo met underworld director Lynn Wiseman while working on the sci-fi hit Stargate back in 1994. Oh. When Lynn was a prop assistant and Kevin was an extra, the two formed a friendship and later collaborated on a host of other ideas and concepts, leading to the completion of two scripts, one of them which was Underworld, starring Kate Beckinsale, in 2003. So the idea for the concept was Kevin's, and in addition, he wrote the original screenplay and treatment for the film in 2000. So dang. Kevin, who had a very small role in Underworld, has a huge impact and involvement behind the scenes. A lot of people may not know that about him, but again, with his deep and very signature voice, the man stands out. So I just wanted to kind of praise Kevin for that. Do you guys like the Underworld series at all?
I haven't watched it, but I know what it is. I love Kate Beckinsale. It's just one of the few films of hers that I still haven't seen. But
gotcha.
I've seen the first two, but they're not something that stands out for me. I feel like they're like too cliched, I don't know, like a Resident Evil ripoff movie wise kind of thing. Like, I don't know, but I've seen the two of them. I know there's countless, but I cannot remember anything from them besides the first one.
No, that's fair. All right, it is that time of the episode. Chinlin, this is your favorite part of the episode.
Ooh.
It's Hot Man Meter. I always say it's the favorite of everybody's. All right. So we are going to go through a lot of gentlemen this episode. Let's start with Carr. This is played by Jim Peary. I believe this was our game master. What did you think of our turtleneck wearing demon with his sensual reality host voice? Do we put this gentleman on our hot man meter?
Nah, it's a pass for me.
same. Sorry to this man.
He doesn't seem attractive to me, but like he does seem confident.
You are correct.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on this gentleman as well. Let's now go to Kyle Adani, played by Bodhi Elfman. What did you guys think of Kyle?
Meh.
Yeah, I mean, he's not unattractive, but there's so many men this season that, you know, to break the top of the 10, no. It's hard. It's going to be hard.
I actually find Kyle to be attractive. He's not hot enough for the meter, but again, I really enjoy his character in this, and this is the type of guy that personality-wise that I would most likely be curious about because I like sort of that honesty. But he's always been a cutie for me.
The upfront kind of thing. Get me some coffee.
Yeah, I've seen him in other shows. So, again, I just like his style of acting. Now we have our apprentice demon, Steve Sell. What do you guys think about this particular demon?
Was he the dark lighter? Was he the one they tortured and killed too soon? And then Leo was like, oh yeah, another witch was killed last night. Was he that guy?
It could have been him.
Oh, he's cute.
Well, he's not going to go on my list. What do you guys think?
I think he's cute, but I don't think he's like super hot.
I agree. So,
okay.
I'm remaining the same.
All right. Then we have our brute demon, our Kevin Grevio. What do you guys think about this bulky, burly man? Does this gentleman make your list?
He's good looking, but I'm still going to pass.
I agree. I'm so full at 10. I can't add another man unless someone really came along to change anything. No, I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. I'm going to pass on this demon as well. We do have our shapeshifter. Now, I know he was shapeshifting to other people, but if you remember his original look, it is played by Steve Gibbons. He has the height, I think, going for him. He kind of was in the background, so he didn't really stand out. I don't think he's going to make my meter. I'm going to pass on him.
Yeah, he was the average looking demon, just the blonde hair, the white shirt. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, he didn't really stand out. Yeah, I'll pass.
Same.
Okay, and what about our last minute contestant, the one who sort of just stayed in the background till it was time to strike? This is our dark lighter who came in and killed our shapeshifter later in the episode. What do you think about this gentleman?
He looked good in the episode. but no, sorry, I'm going to pass on all these talented men.
Yeah, I'm not going to put any of these demons on my list this week. Ryan, did anybody else stand out to you? We had a few members in the bar that kind of stood out. What do you guys think about that wild man who couldn't keep quiet?
I wish I paid attention more to these bar people, but no one really. I'm gonna echo you and Chinlin. I'm not gonna add anybody.
Okay. All right. Well, nobody shook up the hot man meter, but remember we do have our female game master, Miss Meredith Blake, as I like to call her. She could possibly be a hottest female. But anybody who makes you guys' list, we are one episode away. Now, this is where I usually tell people, look, if you've seen the show, if you know the new guys that are in the next episode, and if nobody makes your list in that episode either, turn your list in today. Get that list sent to bwthpod@gmail.com, and I will start collecting lists and create a hot man meter for season 6 that I will present to everyone during our season 7 trailer coming in later. But yeah, put your list together. I want one hottest female, also most adorable. I hope to see lists from all of you guys. And of course, I'll remind everyone in our finale. But yeah, feel free to wrap up that list and get it sent in as soon as you can. All right, now it is time for MVP. Chinlin, did anybody stand out to you to be the most valuable player? Do you have an MVP this week, or maybe not at all?
I think Phoebe will be my MVP for this episode. And I'm saying that because, like, she really took the lead. She took charge on investigating who might turn evil. She was realistic in approaching a crime reporter, thinking, hey, like, we need another resource, a non-supernatural resource, and like, there's someone at my workplace who could be a good source for us, so let's see what we've got here. And, you know, bringing up statistics, that's always great.
I agree, that is my MVP as well. The fact that she was going outside the box, and that end scene in the bar when she's using the athame on the demons and saying that you want to come after our baby or something like that. I liked that. Yeah. So definitely Phoebe.
I'm going to give it to Phoebe as well. I think for someone who doesn't have power, she definitely handled her own. She was very courageous in this episode. She didn't like cower or hide because of the fact that she, you know, doesn't have active powers. So, I mean, she did what she could do, you know, and it was great to see her not be so susceptible to the evil and the temptation. She immediately was like, get these powers out of me, I'm done. So yeah, kudos to Phoebe in this episode. Great job. Now, my play of the week is a little different. This may not be the answer that most people would expect from me, but play of the week could be a good deed or a very bad one. And I think Gideon killing Sigmund was, what a surprise in that one. When I first watched it, I was so shocked that they took him out. But this play solidifies that Gideon is at a point of no return. He has killed one of his own. He has preached the good word not to harm any innocents. And his mission and goal has gotten so far that he went against his moral and his objective and killed the sweetest man of this season. Like, so
I know.
That is my play of the week. Do you guys have a play that you liked in this episode?
When the Game Masters revealed their twist and killed that Darklighter, and then decided, hey, it's time for us to play.
That's great.
I think that would be a good one. Good play of the week.
I'm going to echo both of you guys because I don't have one, but you both mentioned fantastic ones. Yes, that changing it up at the last minute and now it's their rules, as well as Gideon literally, yeah, making it known that he has to, this is it. He's got no other choice. No turning back at this point. Sigmund is now gone.
All right. Well, next week on Charmed, it's a bad, 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 bad world. Part one and part two. All right. So we have reached the end of season six. Next week, it will be a two-part episode. You will get part one on Sunday, July 4th, Independence Day, and you will get part two the following day, Monday, July 5th. We are going to do things a little differently. The quiz show usually comes somewhere in between the break, but for this season, you are going to get the quiz show immediately after the finale. So look out for this pop quiz to come out within a week of the finale. Anytime between July 5th and July 11th, you will see our season 6 quiz. I hope that everyone enjoyed this season so far, and I cannot wait to talk about the finale. Chinlin, thank you so much for being a guest Yay. On our episode today. It was nice having you.
Thank you so much for having me and for letting me be back for a second time. I know it's been a while, and it's always a pleasure, and I always listen to you guys every week while I'm working.
Thank you. It keeps me sane.
I remember her episode when I was listening back in the day. So, yeah, this is a long-term charmy here. One of the biggest.
Now, Chinlin is very modest. She says she's not really doing much, but I want Chinlin, I want you to highlight your Animal Crossing tutorials and YouTube page. Tell everyone about that.
Okay. Well, I admit I'm currently not doing anything right now for it, but for like 4 months straight, I was making Animal Crossing videos for my YouTube channel. So the YouTube channel is called Geek Gals. It's for my geek culture website, also called Geek Gals, which I'm kind of sort of just kind of taking a break from right now as well. But the videos I would make for Animal Crossing for the YouTube, I would try to come up with something creative because, like, there's so many YouTubers out there playing Animal Crossing. Like, it's in, it's a huge gaming community as well. So one of the first videos I made, which is definitely relevant to Charmies, is I recreated the Charmed attic in my house on the island. Yeah.
So, yeah, I was very inspired by that. I showed Ryan my attic. I made an attic because of, I didn't follow your tutorial, but you definitely gave me the inspiration to do it. So I currently have,
you made the backyard, right?
I made the backyard and I made the Charmed attic. I tried to do the conservatory, but there just weren't enough furniture to create that. But now I have one of their den rooms in my living room now. The one with the three couches and like the TVs in the background. Like I created
And then
that.
The fireplace.
Yes, in the fireplace. Yeah. So I have that currently. So yeah, Shinlin has been doing some great stuff on there. I love her pop culture references. I believe that your Bob's Burger restaurant is my favorite that I like that you created.
I think that's the most popular video I made.
It's
nice.
It's really nice. I like it. Well,
this is adorable. I'm on YouTube now. It looks so good. And I subscribed. It looks so good, Shinlin. I'm looking at your attic right now.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
It's beautiful.
Ryan, once again, thank you so much for helping me with this episode. Always great to have you. Yes. All right, Charmies, enjoy the last week of June. We are heading into July. Our finale is next week. I appreciate you all sticking with the show during this time and can't wait for the finale. Have a wonderful brunch. Goodbye, Charmies.
Bye. Goodbye, Charmies.
On the WB's Big Sunday, the two-hour season finale of Charmed.
No time to dawdle. There's a baby on the way.
It's a labor of love for the charmed ones, but a moment of reflection.
There are evil twins of us out there.
Takes them to a very dark place.
We must be some badass witches in this world.
It's merely a mirror image.
Think mean, think nasty.
Gone bad.
Nice knuckles. Brass? No, Tiffany's.
The season finale of Charmed.